All right, so I'm going to introduce you very quickly tonight to Clement. Clement, the disciple of Peter. So we're going to start by just telling you Clement is not a biblical character, except for one place in the Bible. And that's in Philippians chapter 4, 3, chapter 4, verse 3, where Paul mentions Clement in an offhanded way. And we don't even know for sure that it's the same Clement. So let me go look at the, let me get the passage. Since it's our only biblical reference, it seems like we should take a look at it. Let's see, Philippians should be somewhere in here. Where do we keep that? Anyway, here it is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. It's in Paul's greetings. He says, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life." So Philippians is written at the time of Paul's imprisonment in Rome. It's around 62 Common Era, I guess. 61 Common Era, somewhere in there. Early 60s. And he makes reference then to Clement as a fellow worker. Now, Clement, we ordinarily associate with Peter. That's interesting that in the Bible, Clement is associated with Paul. But in church tradition, he's always associated with Peter. He is considered to be one of Peter's disciples. And so there are three bishops of Rome. The first three bishops of Rome, they are a fellow named Linus, a fellow named Anacletus, and a fellow named Clement. Okay? Linus is Paul's disciple, Anacletus, or Cletus for short, and Clement are Peter's disciples. These are the first three bishops of Rome, and that's why they are considered the first three popes. Now, they probably, from what we know, there's a lot of confusion in Catholic lists about the order of these three guys, which is kind of interesting. You know, which one was first among these three fellows. But from what we know of how a bishopric was done, it's possible that they were the Beit Din, that they served together, the three of them served together as a Beit Din, because there's always three judges on a Beit Din. And one of them probably was the bishop over the others. But according to the tradition, Linus died in 81. Anacletus died in 93. I'm not sure when Clement is said to have died, but his epistle is dated to 95. Now, if you remember when I introduced the book of Hebrews, I made an argument that Clement was also the author of the book of Hebrews. That may or may not be the case. Said it could be Clement or someone like Clement. If it's not Clement, it's someone like Clement. But in any case, since we're dating this epistle to 95, that would mean that it was written about a little bit more than 30 years after the book of Hebrews. So a big distance between the two writings, which is not unreasonable. Let me tell you a little bit more about what else you could read from Clement if you really get into Clement. So you could read the book of Hebrews if that may or may not be written by Clement. You could read Clementine homilies and Clementine recognitions, which are going to be much, much longer and much, much more apocryphal. They are considered, scholars call them pseudo-Clementine literature, which means fake Clement, not really written by Clement. But they record a lot of traditions and legends and folk tales and theology of early Jewish believers. Particularly, we believe, from the sect of the Ebionites, the Ebionite Jews, who rejected the temple after its destruction. They rejected the temple and the sacrifices. But what's nice about them, even though these are not really written by Clement, they are fictional in the sense of like historical fiction, like someone is writing and pretending to be Clement. But what's nice about them then is that they preserve for us a body of legend that must have been circulating among Christians and among early Jewish believers about Clement. So we can actually learn some things about Clement based on the fake Clementine writings. Does that make sense? It's like we were learning in Tales of the Apostles. So what are some of the things that we can learn from fake Clementine literature? Well, for example, we learn that Clement was a Gentile. A Gentile from Rome. That he traveled to Judea to actually meet the apostles. He encountered the gospel at a very early stage in Rome. He traveled first to Alexandria, where he bumped into believers. And from there, he decided to go meet the apostles himself. He traveled to Judea, became a disciple of Simon Peter, spent a considerable amount of his life following Simon Peter around and chasing down that evil Simon Magus, Simon the magician. So that's what the Clementine recognitions and the Clementine homilies are all about. Another writing that's attributed to Clement is called the Epistle of Second Clement. You have it in here. Scholars agree it's not by Clement. Instead, his name has just spuriously been stuck on it, and it's actually just an example of an early Christian sermon, early Christian teaching. It's still a very worthy piece of literature, I'm sure, but not actually writing of Clement. So the question that we should try to resolve before we get into the text is, we know Clement was a Gentile from Rome. My question that seems pertinent is, was he still a Gentile at the time of writing First Clement? And the answer is, we're not going to be able to ascertain the answer because there's not clear about it. But in the pseudo-Clementine literature, it makes it sound as if perhaps he had to convert, that he went through a conversion. And that would make sense. If he's really as early as that literature says, then he came onto the scene with Peter prior to the ministry of Paul. And so it's very likely that he, after accepting the God of Israel and rejecting idolatry, that he became a believer. That he became a Jew. He underwent a conversion to Judaism. And so is no longer Clement the Gentile, as we're reading. So that's something to keep in mind as we read. Why would we study First Clement? Well, Clement is not an apostle, and that's why he didn't make it into the apostolic writings. But you should know this. Some versions of the New Testament in some churches still include First Clement. So according to some canons, some Christian canons, he is in the New Testament. First Clement was read very widely in the early Christian church. It was considered New Testament until the time came when the church council said, we need to pare this thing down a little bit. And they made the criteria. The criteria was, do we have a firm tradition that this writer was an apostle? Or if not an apostle, a direct writer for the apostles, like Mark in the case of writing for Simon Peter. Or Luke in the case of his association with Paul. Clement, they were not so sure on. And there is another problem with Clement in that he mentions the phoenix, the mythological phoenix. And so, two strikes and he was out of the New Testament. In my mind, this was a mistake. I think Clement should have been kept. It should have been retained. But who am I to argue with the church councils, right? So instead, we're going to have a Clement Bible study. In addition to those reasons for studying Clement, here's another thing that's really important. We're going to get an incredible glimpse of the teaching of the apostles, because Clement was a disciple of the apostle, and we have a lot of text here. So we're going to get a great glimpse of apostolic teaching in its first century context. So that alone makes it exciting to me. So I'm going to read you a little introduction to the epistle that I wrote for Torah Club Volume 6, Chronicles of the Apostles.